So it's Baruch Hashem, it's a pleasure to be back together, at least in this virtual way, with some of the Chevra, a small amount of the Chevra, but still some of the Chevra nonetheless. It's great to see names and faces. You know, as I've said in the recordings, I miss you guys very much, even though I'm just reading up my notes. I don't really mean that. That's not emotional. That's just something I'm supposed to say. Josh told me to say that. But it is great to be able to still get together and learn a little bit. So what I wanted to do for a few moments at least is, how many of you are able to bring a Rambam with you? Awesome. Josh, are your hands okay? Like, it just, you didn't pick the Rambam when everyone else did.
No,
Rufo Shlema, Rufo Shlema.
I'm going to get that
too. Okay, so if you have the Rambam, then you'll open up to Hilchos Chanukah. So you have a Rambam on Zmanim. So he has Hilchos Megillah and Hilchos Chanukah are combined into one sort of hyphenated section, Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah. That's an interesting idea in its own right, because why don't the Rambam just have separate sections of the Halacha instead of having Megillah for Purim and Chanukah together? There are things that bind them. There are two mitzvot, which are Midirei Sofrim, which are not counted in the Torah, which are because of presuming Nisa. There are connections, but it's kind of a strange thing that he put them together. But okay, so he did that. So, but because of that, if you want to open to the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, you don't start with Parak Aleph, you start with Parak Gimel. So open up to Hilchos Chanukah, Parak Gimel, and I actually forgot my Rambam in the Beis Medrash, and there's a guy giving Chabur now, and I don't want to walk in and take the Rambam out from right under him, because it looks silly that I'm walking in and out. So I'm using the Rambam that I found in the office over here. Oh, welcome, Dr. Engel, how you doing? Oh, you'd probably stole me from him. So if you open up to the beginning, I might have some words that are a little different than we each might have a different little bit of girsa in the Rambam, but the same effect should come out, at least for the points that we are trying to make b'ziyat d'shmaya. So the first halacha in the Rambam is very strange, and some of you may be familiar with this already. I'm not the person who invented this, who noticed this for the first time, but even if you've noticed it before, I think we'll offer hopefully a couple of interesting tidbits that relate to this first halacha. So let's read the first halacha together, and then we'll see if anyone has a comment what's strange about it. So the Hilchos Chanukah starts as follows. B'bayis Sheni, the second base of Mikdash, Kishemalchu Yavan, the Assyrian Greeks were ruling over the land. Gazru Gzeros al Yisrael, they made gezeras against Klal Yisrael, they made decrees against Klal Yisrael. The decrees, the Rambam doesn't tell us really what they were, although the Rambam's about to tell us that they didn't allow us to do Torah and mitzvos. We know Chazal, you fill in from different places, you find about Rosh Chodesh, you find about Bris Milah, right? You find about Shabbos. So the Rambam doesn't really spell those things out for us, but he does say Gazru Gzeros, and he says Lasuk B'Torah was one of them, and then apparently there were other Gzeros as well. Gazru Gzeros al Yisrael. Okay, they made Gzeros. Uvitlu Dasam. What does that mean, Bitlu Dasam? It means they tried to, they negated, or they did away with, or they upended, or whatever, they overturned the dust, the religion of the Jewish people. Now just note, and this is actually important for what we're going to say soon, hopefully, it says bit ludasam, not hishtadlu levatel dasam, you know, not like nisu levatel dasam. It says they succeeded. It sounds like they actually mevatel the dust, the religion of the Jewish people during that time period. Whoa. Velo hinichu osam laso b'torah mitzvos. They didn't allow the Jewish people to learn Torah, to do mitzvos. Ufashtu yadam mamonam. They stuck their hands in, meaning they stole from the mamonis of the Jewish people. Uviv no sehem. And they made, we know from, we know this terrible gzera, that they made the kalas who were on the day of their chuppah, they made them first be with the Gaish general before being able to get married. Terrible gzeras. V'nichnasu leheichal. They went into the Beis HaMikdash. Ufartzu bo pirtzos. They broke openings into the Beis HaMikdash. Not exactly here what this means. The Or Sameach has a comment here about what this means. What were the piritzos? What were the holes that they bursted in the Mikdash? Not 100% clear. V'timu ataros, and they were metame everything inside. V'tzar l'hem l'Yisrael ma'od mipneihem. There was a terrible distress, a terrible stress on the Jewish people. It was a big tzara. It was a terrible, terrible time. U'lechatzum lachatz gadol, and they pressured them and oppressed them terribly. They oppressed them terribly. Ad sherichem aleihem elokei avoseinu v'hoshiyam miyadam, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu had rachmanis, had mercy, and he saved them. V'yitzilam, v'gavru b'nei chashmonaya kohanim agdolim. The kohanim overwhelmed the non-Jewish army. They beat the non-Jewish army. They won the war. V'haragum, and they killed them. V'hoshiyu Yisrael miyadam, saved the Jewish people from the Yavanim. V'hemidu melech min hakohanim, v'chazur malchus Yisrael liyesar ha'asayim shana ad chorban hasheni. And they were able to have chashmonayim be, the kohanim be the kings for another 200 years. Now, just one side note, if you learn the Ramban al Torah, the fact that the Hashmonaim became the kings for 200 years was actually a negative. It was a bad thing because it's against the Pasuk in the Brachos in Parshas Vayechi in terms of who's supposed to be the kings, not supposed to be the Shevet of Levi, not supposed to be the Shevet of Kohanim, supposed to be from Yehuda, but that's for a different time. The Rambam seems to view it positively, so you have to figure out what that Machlokas is about. But what do you have here? What's the basic gist of Halacha Aleph? The Rambam tells us the story of Hanukkah. Not so crazy, right? Because the Gemara does the same thing. The Gemara gives us my Hanukkah. Gemara in Maseches Shabbos quotes the Braisa, my Hanukkah. What's Hanukkah? What's the story of Hanukkah? And tells a story. We don't have the whole story in any given place. You have to use Maseches Shabbos. You have to use Megillas Antiochus. You have to use the Sefer Maccabim. You have to use all the different Megillas Tainus, all the different sources that put them all together to get a story. But the Rambam starts by telling us a story. That's fine. That makes sense. Or does anyone have a kasha?
The Rambam is the Halacha Sefer.
Yeah. Yeah, what's the goal of the Rambam's Yad HaChazakah? What's the goal of what he called the Mishnah Torah? We sometimes refer to the Yad HaChazakah. The goal is that the Yad HaChazakah is supposed to serve as a halacha sefer, which means that the Rambam was trying to cut out anything else and really just give us the how-tos, the do's and don'ts of Yiddishkeit. Okay, some divrei agada here and there, he gives us some meaning behind mitzvos. It's kind of confusing to figure that out. When the Rambam tells us time and mitzvos, when he doesn't tell us time and mitzvos. But the Rambam's goal was certainly not to tell us stories. So why all of a sudden here in Hilchos Chanukah does the Rambam include the story of Chanukah in the halachos? If you go back, if you think this isn't a question, it doesn't bother you. If you go back to the beginning of Hilchos Megillah, so the way he starts about the mitzvah of Purim, the idea of Purim, Chagah Purim, Halacha Aleph, HaMegillah, Kriyas HaMegillah Bezmana is Mitzvah's essay, Midivrei Sofrim. He says there's a Mitzvah's essay to read Megillah, and then he tells you the dinim of reading Megillah. He doesn't tell you when Esther was around, when Mordechai was around. He doesn't tell you the whole Nusach of Al-Anisim. He doesn't tell you the story of what happened. He tells you, you got to read the Megillah. So why over here does he tell us the story of Chanukah? So if you look, if any of you have at home the book of Rabbi Dr. Isidore Twersky, my Rabbi Rav Twersky Shlita, his father, Rabbi Dr. Isidore Twersky, Rav Yitzchak Asher Twersky, he has a monumental work. He has two of his most famous books as opposed to articles are he has a book on the Ravid, which is a very chashiv book about the Ravid. It's called the Rabbat of Pasquirs. I don't know how to pronounce that word, but I just pretend I do. And he has the book called Introduction to the Code of Maimonides, which is a fat book with fat words that are very difficult to understand. So if you sit with that book and a dictionary and you go to page 223, you'll find that he deals with this exact question. And I've heard this quote in the name of Rav Soloveitchik as well. But what Rabbi Dr. Twersky said is as follows. The Chanukah story was post-biblical. The Chanukah story doesn't exist in Tanakh, right? So if I didn't have Chazal, I wouldn't know about the story. It's not told in any of the Sifrei Tanakh. The Sefer of Purim, the story of Purim is told in Tanakh. There's a whole Megillas Esther about the story of Purim. So I have a Sefer in Tanakh about the story of Purim. I do not have a Sefer in Tanakh about the story of Chanukah. Says the Rambam like this, if you go back to the Hagdama, the introduction to the Yad HaChazakah, the very beginning where he tells you what he's trying to do with this whole Sefer of Mishnah Torah, of Yad HaChazakah, he tells you, these are very famous lines, I'm sure you're familiar, he tells you that after you get a hold, if you can afford to buy my Sefer Mishnah Torah in the Sfarim store, assuming you live in a community that has Sfarim stores, and you're able to buy my Sefer Mishnah Torah, you will not need any other Sfarim on your shelf anymore. Why not? Because what I've done is I've basically taken all of Chazal, all of Torah Shebaal Peh, every Gemara Bavli, every Gemara Yerushalmi, every Sifra, every Sifri. I've taken all the Midrashim. I've put it into one place where you know all the halachos and everything Chazal we're trying to give over in the Torah Shebaal Peh. Says the Rambam, all you'll need on your shelf is two books, a Tanakh and a Rambam. That's all you'll need. You need the Tanakh because you need to know the story of Jewish history. You need to know how we got to where we are and how the dinim became the dinim that they became. But in terms of knowing everything else in Chazal, all you need is my book. So that's what the Rambam tells about the Hagdama to the Yad HaChazakah. Ah, if that's true, so the Rambam understands that his book is only supposed to serve the purpose of replacing Chazal. It doesn't replace Tanakh. You have Tanakh to be on your shelf as well to tell you the stories. Megillas Esther, you don't need in Yad HaChazakah because you have a Tanakh on your shelf. But what about the story of Hanukkah? There's no book in Tanakh that tells you the story. So says the Rambam, unless I include it in my Sefer of Halacha, true, it's a Sefer Halacha, but unless I include it there, that story will not be in the Jewish household. Because all you really need, my book has to include everything that's in Chazal, and not Tanakh. But this story of Hanukkah kind of falls between the cracks, because it's not in Tanakh, and it is in Chazal. So because of that, the Rambam had to include it in the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, to tell you, to make sure that you know the story of Hanukkah, to make sure his book really was all-encompassing. That's a very very interesting answer. It's a very technical answer, right? Meaning it's interesting and it's probably correct and it's accurate and it's precise and nobody would have doubted that before I said it. But it doesn't give you the gishmak of a fundamental answer, right? It doesn't give you anything in terms of, it doesn't have a nafka mina, it doesn't change the way you look at Hilchos Chanukah. So I recently discovered that the Rav of Soloveitchik, the father-in-law of Rabbi Dr. Tversky, had a different suggestion as well. He also said this, but he had a different suggestion as well. It's found in the book Days of Deliverance, which is one of those English books of the Rav's drushes and the lectures on different topics. This one's on Chanukah and Purim. So the Rav says there as follows. He says, if you look at here in Hilchos Chanukah, in the same parak in Gimel, if you look in Halacha Gimel, the Rambam says, Mipnei zeh hiskinu, after he tells you the story, he says, Mipnei zeh hiskinu chacham shabos ador. Because of that, they were misakin that we should have shmonas hayam ha'ilu shetchilas and chafei b'kislev, yimei simcha v'halel. Umadligim b'hanan neros ba'erev, al peskei abatim b'chol laila v'laila. You have to light menorah every single night, mishmonas ha'lailos, laharos ulegalos hanis. What does that mean? To publicize and to give expression to the miracle. You have to publicize and you have to express the miracle of Chanukah. If you look at the end in Parak Dalet, Halacha Yud Beis, the Rambam says a different word. He says, Lehodia. You have to make known, proclaim, declare the nes of Chanukah to the public. So this is a term we're familiar with. This relates to Pirsuminisa, right? It's the idea of Pirsuminisa. You got to be mefarsim the nes. So, I was once at an event, and the person who was speaking at the event, he was telling a whole story about how he was on a plane ride to this event, and the plane, as they were landing, had a lot of turbulence, and it was very nerve-wracking. The pilot like made an announcement, seatbelts, everyone be careful, whatever, and they landed, and it was like a nace. It was a nace. He was very excited. So he had this big maimed. He was in front of a lot of people, so he had an opportunity. So he said, I want to express my gratitude to Hashem for saving me for a nace. We know that there's a mitzvah to be mefar nace the nace. To be mefar nace the nace. And he kept saying, I want to be mefar nace the nace, mefar nace the nace. And like, you know what mefarnes the nace means? That's what I'm trying to do as a fundraiser for a kolo. You got to be mefarnes the nace. You make a parnasa for the nace. He meant you got to be mefarsim the nace. Mefarsim, you got to publicize it. You got to make it clear to everyone that this happened. Tell the stories of the whole world. Be mefarsim the nace to everyone. Persumin Isa. Laharus ilgalo, says the Rambam. To publicize, to give expression to tell the story of what happened. Says the Rav like this. If a person wants to give expression to a story, what's an obvious prerequisite? He has to know the story. If the lights of the Chanukah candle are going to tell you the story in your house and also are going to outwardly express the story to the public, to the people who are on the street and looking into your window, then there's an obvious need for you to know the story of Chanukah. Says the Rambam, I usually don't tell stories in the Anach Hazakah, I teach halachos. But one of the halachos here of Hilchos Chanukah, the central halacha to Hilchos Chanukah, is the halacha of Hadlakas Neros, which is meant to be mefarsem the nes, laharos ulegalos the nes, lahodia the nes, to proclaim the nes. In order for you to be in full fulfillment of that, yes, there's a maise mitzvah, an act of a mitzvah of lighting the candles, of igniting the flame. But on top of, and even more and deeper than, just lighting that flame, just performing that act, you also have to express the miracle. Tell the story of what happened. You have to let people know about what happened, yourself included. And the only way a person could possibly do that is if he knows the story. If you don't know the story, you're not going to be Mekayim in the mitzvah in its entirety. Says the Rambam, I have to tell the story of Mabayis Sheni, Kishim, Malchu, Yavin, etc., Gazru, Gzeiras, Pashto, Yadma, Mamonam, Uviv, and Oseim, that the whole thing happened, Lehoshia, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to save them. Then you can tell the story, now that I know that you know it. But it's part of the halacha of Hilchos Chanukah. It's not just storytelling because we don't have a book in Tanakh, not only that. It's also because you need to know it in order to properly fulfill the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah. The truth is, if that's the... Yeah.
According to either one, how do you justify breaking it up into two separate halachos?
Which part? Halacha Aleph is Babayis Sheni Kamel until?
And Beis. Why don't you just combine?
What does Beis start with in your edition?
Uchishe Gavru Yisrael.
Okay, so first of all, I don't have a Frankel. Anyone using a Frankel edition? I do think it's the same in Frankel,
yeah.
But. So are there two dots?
The same.
If there's two dots before the Beis also, Sam?
Yeah,
so, I don't know, that's a problem because why? Because he should have told the whole story at once?
Usually he's separating halachas. It sounds like there's some more halachic significance to the way he's telling the story. In other words, embedded within each part of the story, there must be some halachic significance. Otherwise,
meaning separate halachic significance to Aleph and Beis?
Yeah, something separate about Aleph and Beis.
The way I would have thought, viscerally, just initially, I would have thought Halacha Aleph is part one of the story. Halacha Beis is part two of the story. And the second part is the Nes of the Shemen. The Rambam sees those as distinct Nisim. We might talk about that at some point if we can get there. Do they have to be separate? Do they have to have a nafkamina halacha? I don't know. I just don't know if that assumption is true. If just because he breaks something into two, it's more organized. It's neater that way. I'm not sure if that impacts the halacha.
Wouldn't you expect that at all mitzvahs that person may nitsa, you would also have to have like dal kosos or megillah?
Okay, good. So let's forget about dal kosos for now. Let's talk about this, exactly what you just said. Let's talk about that. What about mitzvahs, kriyas, megillah? So then, right there, back to square one. We said the Rambam starts Hilchos Chanukah with a story time. He doesn't start Hilchos Megillah with a story time. So why not? So obviously the answer is like Josh just said. I think obviously. Obviously the answer is that, and I believe the Rav, you know, intends this as well. I might even say this. Obviously the answer is that Kriyas Megillah is the telling of the story. The mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa on Chanukah is to light candles and through the hadlaka to be mesaper, to be megale, laharos, the nes, the story to everyone else, lahodia, through the candles. On Purim, it's much clearer where that Pirsumei Nisa comes from. Where does it come from? The Kriyas Megillah itself. You know the Bali Kriya who do they do the whole Kriyas Megillah, each person they're quoting in different voices for the, you know, their mom is acting out, they're living out the story. So Kriyas Megillah is gufa at that point. Kriyas Megillah is telling the story to the public, and that's the fullest scheme of Pirsumei Nisa. The Rambam doesn't need to tell you the story for that. If you're going to do the mitzvahs that he's telling you, you're going to know the story, and you're going to be telling the story to the public. And I think that what you just pointed out, Ari, is not only a question, not only not a question, but it's actually in this Rambam, it proves our point a little bit more. If you read in Halacha Gimel over here, the Rambam says, because of this, we read a little bit, right? Because of this, they were masaking 8 days of Chanukah. And they were masaking to light the menorah. By the way, it's interesting. It sounds like those are two different stages. It sounds like the Chachamim Sheba Oso Ador made 8 days of Chanukah for Hallel. And then it sounds like, and then Midivrei Sofrim, they added on lighting menorah. Now, did they light menorah that first year or that second year? Did they light right away? Or did they wait till later after there was a churban, or was the menorah in different places? This is another discussion. Was it actually in the Beis Hamikdash or elsewhere? But it seems like there were two separate stages in history of Takanas here. Okay. Either way, the Rambam ends this halacha gimel is saying, Yom Elu, Hina Nikra and Chanukah, that's what we call Chanukah, Vehina Asurim Behespit of Tainis Kimea Purim. Okay, so there's an Isser Hespit of Tainis just like Purim. Not so strange, I guess, to compare it to Purim, meaning the same way I just told you all of Hilchos Megillah, Isser Hespit of Tainis, you can't have eulogies, you can't fast, so too on Chanukah. Okay. Vehadlakos Neros Behen is Mitzvah Medivrei Sofrim. Right? The mitzvah of lighting Neros Chanukah on Chanukah is a Mitzvah Medivrei Sofrim, meaning it's not Daraisa, it's Darabanan. Correct? Period, right? Everyone here has a period. That's the end of the halacha, right? Just making sure we all have the same girsa. Wait, no, none of you have a period, right? Rambam says, Kikriyas HaMegillah. Kikriyas HaMegillah, Shkayach. Why don't you just end it, V'hadlakas Neros Bahen Mitzvah Midiris Sofrim, period. Or, V'hadlakas Neros Bahen Mitzvah Midiris Sofrim, K'Nitzilos Yadayim. I don't know, like every other Darabanan. Rambam says, Kikriyas HaMegillah? Why? Why do you have to tell me that comparison? Halacha Dalad. Kol Shechayiv B'Kriyas HaMegillah, Chayiv V'hadlakas Ner Chanukah. Shkayach, why are the same people who are chayiv in Kriyas Megillah are chayiv in Chanukah? Why? Because it's a mitzvah midarabanan that all men are chayiv in, and it's afhin hayu b'oso anis, so also women are chayiv. So you don't have to compare it to Kriyas Megillah. There's nothing fundamental about the comparison to Kriyas Megillah. Why is the Rambam telling me again and again, it's Kriyas Megillah? That's not a fundamental comparison. It just happens to technically be true. They're both mitzvahs derabanan, and they're both mechayiv, men and women, because of the technicality. They're both afin oso nes, men and women. Okay, they're chayiv derabanans. Why say kikriyas and megillah both times? So is it possible that the Rambam is stressing this point again? He's expressing this exact point, that hadlakas neros is kikriyas and megillah. Hadlakas neros is the kriyas and megillah of Chanukah. We don't have a megillah to read on Chanukah. We don't have a way of telling the story. We don't have a text to lane in public. So how are we mare? How are we megale? How are we modia that nes to the public? By lighting Chanukah candles, kikriyas HaMegillah. Just like the Kriyas HaMegillah tells the story of Chanukah, so too by reliving and displaying and expressing the nes of Chanukah through the neros, we're being kore the Megillah of Chanukah, we're being mare umodia, we're being megala the nes to the public, we're being mefarsim the nes through telling the story. The Svarim do say, like later Svarim, Rishis Chachma has this and the Chidah has this, that the proper thing to do is that around the time of a candle lighting, a family should sit down and tell the story of Chanukah to the children, to each other. That's not a mitzvah d'oraisa of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim in the same way, and it's not a Kriyas HaMegillah, there's no text to read, but that is what we're trying to accomplish when we light the menorah. We're trying to tell the story through the light of the candles, and that's why the Rambam goes at length to first of all tell us the story, because you have to know the story to really be mekayim this mitzvah. And additionally, that's why the Rambam keeps comparing and keeps drilling home that point that it's compared to Kriyas HaMegillah, because lighting candles is the Kriyas HaMegillah of Chanukah. It's telling the story through the Neros of Chanukah. That's the first tahara I want to point out about Pirsumei Nisa from the Rambam. I think that's something to think about, to work with, and it gives you a little bit of insight into what the Pirsumei Nisa were trying to accomplish when everyone here lights, and I guess, you know, you probably didn't light yet, it's only 5:40, or maybe you lit already because Shkia passed, but when you light, if you should light, are you guys lit already? When I was considering taking this job, just for people who are going to end up listening to the recording, everyone's cracking up, but they're on mute. That's why it doesn't sound like people are laughing at the jokes. When I was taking this job, they always, you know, text me, can we have a meeting at whatever time, whatever time. Nobody ever said, like, 6 p.m. L.A. time, 9 p.m. L.A. time. Everyone just assumed that that was the time that everyone goes by. So I try to you know, act like the Medina that I live in. So I assume you guys didn't light yet. Or really, you should have lit, but I'm in the base measure, so I haven't lit yet. Okay. My wife lit, but I didn't light yet. Yeah, there's something else very interesting here in Halacha Aleph in the Rambam. The Rambam mentions the whole story of the Nais. This is really amazing. Please pay attention here, or someone try to call it out if you see it. But Bayis Sheni, the Malchu Yavan, they were ruling over us. They were Mevatel Das. They were not Meniachas to learn Torah and do mitzvos. They took our money. They took our children. They came into the Heichal. They were Partsu Bopirtsos. They were Metame Taros. They caused much stress. Ulechatzim Lachatz Gadol. Ad Sherichem Aleim Elkei Avosinu Voshiyam Yadam. Veitzilim Vegavru, etc. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu had mercy and saved us, what is missing? Is something missing?
Tefillah, no tefillah.
Was there no tefillah? Shragi, was there no tefillah? Is that possible?
That's what your Rebbe says. That's what your Rebbe says all the time.
Okay, good. So this is important. So my Rebbe, I assume Shragi means Rav Tversky. So then I'm sure I've heard this from him in the past, but I don't remember it, but a Baruch Shekarasi, as they say, Baruch that I've heard it or seen in the past. So it looks like from the Rambam over here that what? That there's no mention of tefillah. Is that possible? Is it possible that the Jews did not daven? So the truth is, the Rav makes this ha'ara. I saw a couple weeks ago, the Rav makes this ha'ara in the same book, and he quotes. He says this is not the only time you find such a phenomenon. The Rav in that sefer quotes from the Ramban. The Ramban in Parshas Bo makes a similar ha'ara, a similar comment about the Jews in Mitzrayim. He says, the Jews in Mitzrayim, it's true that there was a tza'aka. The Torah says that there was a tza'aka. We darshan that in the Haggadah, right? We talk about the tza'aka, the crying out. But the crying out was not a tefillah, it was like a krecht. If I would punch you in the face, you would also go, ah, maybe not if I did, I'm not so strong. But if someone would punch you in the face that has some muscles, so you'd give a krecht, so you'd, ah, that hurt. Is that tefillah? So there's a way in which you could turn that into a tefillah, but it's really just like a visceral reaction. It's a knee-jerk reaction to pain that a person screams out when there's a reflexive, you know, grunt and groan that comes from the pain. But that's not really tefillah from one person to another being. That's just a tza'aka. So the Rav says, you see, the Ramban thought the same thing was true about Mitzrayim. The Jews didn't really daven. And because of that, the Rav explains that there are really two tracks to Yeshua. There are two tracks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's salvations. Often, we have a tzara. We call out, and he, capital H, answers. But sometimes he, capital H, must jump the gun. He needs to rush to save us. He needs to shorten the years of Galus Mitzrayim, run to our rescue from the Yavanim. Why? Because in some cases, the alternative to immediate salvation is not delay, meaning it's not just waiting until we daven, but the alternative is complete assimilation or complete annihilation. When the Jews were Mitzrayim, it wasn't a question of, oh, I'll wait for them to daven, and when they daven, I'll come save them. If it would have gone on any longer, we would have ceased to exist. We would have completely been annihilated. And the same thing is true, apparently, in the story of Chanukah. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have waited any longer, Rachmana Litzlan, we would have been completely assimilated. We would have been obliterated, wiped off the map. There would be no more Jewish identity. At those points, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say, let me see if I can wait for them to call out. I can't wait anymore. He swoops in, and he saves us. But even so, by the story of Chanukah, I don't know, it's strange that it's missing in the halachos. We don't even have that shriek that the Ramban was talking about. How is it really possible that with all of these gzeros that the Rambam just delineated for us, all these terrible things that we know Chazal tell us happened to the Jewish people during that time, that the Yevanim were gozer, these terrible gzeros on the Jews during that time, how is it possible that we didn't daven? How could it be that there's no tefillah? So Shragi, you'll tell me afterwards if I'm wrong, but I don't believe I ever heard Rav Tversky explain this part. But perhaps, and I'm just thinking out loud here, and I'd love to for you guys to sit on it and let me know what you think after as well. But perhaps we can understand what happened in the story of Hanukkah. How it could possibly be there was no tefillah by way of a mashal, by way of a parable. So listen to the mashal. Let's say you have two friends. One is a policeman and one is a lawyer. Okay. So on the first day, they're going to their jobs. The policeman's going to the police house. What do they call it? Station, police station, and the lawyer is going to the lawyer house. What are they? Lawyer station. Fine. So okay. So he gets to his firm the first day, and before he gets there, his friend calls him and says, "You shouldn't."
His living room.
Right? Nowadays, calls living room. So he gets to his office. Before he gets to his office, his friend calls him and says, "Listen, buddy. Good luck on your first day of work at the law firm. You know I'm a policeman. If anything ever comes up, just call me. I'm there for you. I'll rescue you. I have sirens. I get there fast. I'll take care of you." Okay. So the friend goes to the office first day. He walks into his office. He gets into his cubicle or wherever he sits in his office. And that first day, literally the three partners from the firm, they run into his room. They have guns in the air pointed at his head. And they said, "We hired you. We know you're Jewish. Take off your yarmulke. Stop with the Judaism. Work on Shabbos or else we're going to kill you on the spot." So he's totally confused. He's scared. He runs for his life. He gets into the bathroom. He hides himself. He calls his friend to the policeman. The policeman comes and saves him. His best friend comes and saves him. Just like he said, they arrest the lawyers. Fine. Everything's good. That's one case. Now imagine a second case. Same policeman, same lawyer. Lawyer walks in the first day, and everyone's incredibly kind to him. And he has a really productive first day of work. He does really great on his job, and it's all good. And the work becomes more demanding, but it's more rewarding too. He gets more cases, and he's doing well, and the partners are noticing him. And then Vayihi Ayom, his partners come in on Friday. He's working on a really hard case. The partners come in on the firm and they say, "Listen, Yankel, like, you're doing a great job, but we need this case finished by tonight." So Yankel's like, "It's a winter Friday. I got to get home for Shabbos. At the office in the city, I got to leave by midday to get home for a 4 o'clock Shabbos, 5 o'clock Shabbos. I can't." So they said, "We totally, totally understand that. We respect your religion. We'll put you up in a hotel for Shabbos. This way you can work till 3:50. You'll take a shower in the hotel. You spend Shabbos in the hotel. And you'll start working again Saturday night. You'll crack the case that way." So he says, "Taka, that's good. No chil Shabbos. They're taking care of me." Fine. So he does it. And Taka does very good on the case. And he gets more and more such assignments because he's very good at his job. And suddenly it turns into once a month, twice a month, three times a month, he's staying for Shabbos in a hotel. And he works till the buzzer, and he spends Shabbos in the hotel. He doesn't really have Suda Shabbos. He doesn't really have his Miros. He doesn't have any time to learn. He hasn't been seeing his family much lately. And he's losing the time of Shabbos, but he's doing great work and getting more Parnassah, and he's sending it home to his family, and it's all going great. Then one day, the partners come in. They say, "Yankel, you're doing fantastic. We think it's time for a promotion. But maybe you should come to the country club. We want you to meet the other partners. We want you to, to get to know everyone." So he says, "Avada, I want that promotion." So he comes to the country club and they get there. And as they're walking, they say, "You look a little different. Maybe take off the yarmulke for the club. Like, we're going to be drinking schnapps together, smoke cigars together. Maybe take off yarmulke." He goes, "Yeah, I don't see why not. A yarmulke is not really a dindar, right? It's not really a dindar abundant. It's just a random gemara. Okay, so I'll take off my yarmulke, no problem." You can imagine how the story goes. Slowly, slowly, everything is fading away. All of the pressure from the coworkers, all the pressure from the partners, it's stripping away his Yiddishkeit. But you know what's strange? He never calls his policeman friend. Why doesn't he call him? He's in trouble. He sees the tzaros in front of him. He sees the non-Jews telling him, "Stop keeping Shabbos the way you know it. Stop wearing your yarmulke. Stop identifying as Jewish in every single part of your life." He sees the partners doing that to him. He's watching his Yiddishkeit be stripped away and being torn down to nothing. He's being taken apart, but he doesn't feel that same dire, life-threatening need to dial 911. Why not? So the answer is obvious, right? In the story of Purim, the Jews knew their lives were in danger. There was a decree in writing from the king to kill every single Jew. And we were scared for our lives. So of course we daven. Of course we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course we were worried and frightened and reached out and asked our policeman friend in the mashal HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come save us. But in the story of Hanukkah, maybe they didn't even realize. The threat was so insidious. It was so sneaky. It was so gradual that even when it was Pashtu Yadam and Mamonam, they were taking their money. Pashtu Yadam Bivno Sayim. They were taking their daughters and marrying them off to non-Jews, but it had become the norm. It was just a tax you pay to the government. It became part of their life. They were lulled into complacency, and they were on the verge of losing it all without so much as raising their voices, never mind a finger. Maybe, is it possible? Is it possible that the Jewish people sat through all these Gazru Gzeros, sat through all this Bitlu Dasam, successful Bitlu Dasam, the Yavanim were Mevatel their dust, the religion ceased to exist for so many Jews, so many Misyavnim, and aside from a few Yechidei Skula, aside from a few Holy Kohanim, they did not realize they were under attack. And because of that, they never asked for help. They never davened. They never called out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save us. And if that's possible, then is it possible that we all need to do a communal cheshbon and nefesh as well? Is it at all possible that we too are missing signs of attacks from the outside that we don't even realize on ourselves, on our homes, on our children? Is it possible that the secular culture has creeped in, has made us acculturate to the point of assimilation so much that we do not even realize when we're under attack, that we don't even know to call out to Kadosh Baruch Hu? You know, when we see a problem in our lives, we're in the community, so we're able to try to address it and try to fix it and try to daven about it and try to find solutions to the problem. But if we don't even know the problem exists because we've been lulled into complacency, because the attack was more gradual, was more insidious, it was Esav as a brother, not Esav as an enemy, so then we don't even know to look for the issue, we don't even know to look to solve it. Never mind daven, we don't know how to address it at all. And it really behooves every single one of us in the time of Chanukah to start to think, well, where are those compromises in my life? Where are those compromises in our society where we've given in, we're losing a battle that we didn't even know we were in the middle of fighting? And there are large swaths of Orthodox Jews who are missing significant signposts saying you're going the wrong way. And it's on us to think that we don't want to end up like the Misyavnim, Rachman Slan, in the story of Chanukah, who didn't even know it was time to call out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So I don't know, I don't know if that's the pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam certainly leaves out tefillah, and that's certainly a significant idea, and the Rav certainly says there are two tracks of Yeshua, but one wonders if this mashal is the pshat in how it could be that the Rambam doesn't see a tefillah in the story of Chanukah, and if it is, then we really do have to take a take-home musr to ourselves in terms of looking in our own personal lives how to address those more insidious, sneaky, quiet attacks on our religion. Maybe one last ha'ara we'll end with, in the Rambam, if you flip to Parak Dalid, the fourth Parak, Halacha Yud Beis, Halacha 12. So the Rambam here says, this is a very famous one, Mitzvah Ner Chanukah Mitzvah Chaviva Hi Ad Ma'od. A very beloved mitzvah. Much ink has been spilled on understanding what the Rambam means by Chaviva Hi Ad Ma'od. Okay. V'tzarech Adam Lihizar Bakadelo Dia Hanes. We mentioned this before, right? You have to be careful about the mitzvah in order to be Modia, to declare, to proclaim the Nes to the public. Ulahosif Bishvach HaKel, and to add on praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'hodayalo, and thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, al hanisim she'asalanu, for all of the miracles that he did for us. So there's two things we could talk about right now. I'll choose, we'll do the lighter one. So the Rambam here has an interesting change in tone, in his grammar. Mitzvah ner chamka mitzvah chivi hu ad ma'od, v'tzarech adam lizar ba kedei lehodia hanes. Ari, keep track. Lehodia hanes, okay? Now keep reading. Ulahosif bishvach hakel v'adaya lo al hanisim. Ari, what was the word I told you to keep track of before?
Nes.
If I knew it would take you so long to unmute, I would not have posed the question. Yeah, nes. So what did the Rambam do here? Pasach b'nes v'siyem b'nisim. He opened by saying we have to declare the nes, the miracle, singular, the miracle, one miracle to the public of Chanukah. To thank Kadosh Baruch Hu al hanisim, for all of the miracles in plural she'asalanu, they did for us. So that's strange. Why did the Rambam switch from one single nes then to talk about a plural nisim? How come the Rambam went back and forth between those singular and plural? So I saw people have pointed this out before, but I saw Avraham Shor has a nice little essay on this in Halekach VaAlibov, and he basically says the way I think a lot of us would intuitively say al derech the Ramban in Parshas Bo, the very famous Ramban. That the art of Nisim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us miracles that stand out, a Nes that's a Lamalim and a Teva that stands out, really blows our minds. What happens when you see these big Nisim Gedolim is they're Megala, they reveal to you how many Nisim really happened in your life beforehand. When you see one big hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyachal coming out and scooping you up, then you start to see the foot tracks along the way. Oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was really there the whole time doing a lot of Nisim. One big Nes is Megala and the millions of other smaller miracles that exist. And that's very beautiful. It explains why the Rambam said, you're modia about the Nes of Chanukah, and that's Megala, all the other Nisim. But it's still kind of missing something, no? Because if he's right, So then the Rambam here chose Hilchos Chanukah, Dalet Yud Beis, to tell us the Yisur of the Ramban about all of life, that you have to look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's big miracles and notice all the little miracles. Like, why does that have to do with Chanukah in particular? Why is that here in Hilchos Chanukah? So the truth is, this Yisod is apparent even within, internally, within the Nes of Chanukah. The Maharal asks the following question. Why do we make such a big deal of the Nes of the menorah? No? A little oil burnt for a long time. Okay, I'll tell you another place where that happened. The Gemara on Shabbos tells us that there wasn't really enough oil in Ner Tamid, but it burnt all the time. That was a miracle, and that happened all the time. So all of a sudden, we're so nispoil that the menorah lasted for a longer time than the oil was supposed to last. Why is that such an exciting thing? Why is it such a big nace? So the Maharal says that the significance of the nace of menorah, I heard this Maharal for the first time from my Rebbe Rav Twersky many years ago. The Maharal says the significance of the nace, the miracle of menorah, is that it helped the Jewish people interpret the nace of the Melchama. Lest one be inclined to understand that we just happened to win the war. We had a stronger army. We had a better strategy. We were ma'atim, but we had a way of beating the rabbim. We had guerrilla warfare. We had some tactic where we beat the bigger army. Lest one be inclined to think that was natural, we have the nace of menorah, which is megale. It reveals that the melchama was also in defiance of the laws of nature. Based on this miracle of the menorah, we see the other miracles that have been happening all along that we could have chalked up to nature, that we could have chalked up to Teva. It was just the regular way of winning a battle. No, no, no. Comes the Nase of Menorah, says, no, these are Nisim. Look around you. Everything here is a Nase. One Nase is Megala, how many Nisim were behind you. Rav Pinkus has a more, I don't know if he means it tongue-in-cheek, but he has a sharper way of saying it. He says the Nase of Chanukah, the Nase of the Menorah of Chanukah, is that we recognize the Nase. That was the miracle. The miracle was that we even noticed that it was a nace. Everything was so natural. Everything seemed so regular. But we realized something was happening. Then you start to realize it's a piled up, this effect of all the nisim. You start to realize, oh, this was all a time of miracles. This is all a miraculous, the war included. And really, this relates to the whole Yesod of Chanukah. Reb Simcha Zissel Broyd, he has a Yisvarim Sam Derech with his Shirim. So he has on Chanukah. So he explains that Purim and other nisim that we experienced, they were an ultimate Yeshua. Meaning we left Mitzrayim and we were done with the Tzaros. We were rescued from Achashverosh and we were completely saved from being annihilated. We won a war. But that's not actually what happened in Chanukah. After they conquered the Beis HaMikdash, I think most of us are aware of this, the war didn't end. We know that, right? The war wasn't over. We got the Beis HaMikdash, we lit menorah, and thousands more Jews were killed in the war, including Matisyahu, the Kohen Gadol. Thousands of Jews were killed after the Nes of Chanukah. The Nes of Chanukah was in the middle of regular, difficult, dark, challenging times. It was one light in those times, but it was a difficult, challenging time. A Nes we see on Chanukah, it's not only the ultimate Kriyas Yamsuf Diganes, the ultimate final salvation. No, every battle, every candle, every drop of oil, every day is filled with Nisim. That's what the Yontif of Chanukah is really about. The Yontif of Chanukah is realizing that it's not just when we win and everything goes away and all our problems are solved that we see the Nisim, but we realize that even in the middle of a dark, deep gullus, there are Nisim that abound all around us. Says the Rambam, the goal of Chanukah, the goal of Menorah, is Lahodia Hanes. It's to publicize the Nes of Chanukah. But through publicizing the Nes of Chanukah, a person has to realize that he's Mosif B'Shvach Kel. He's Motet HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that Nes, and he realizes that there's so much more to be thankful for. V'Hodaya Lo Al HaNisim She'asa Lanu. The menorah reminds us of the Mechama, and both of those remind us of how many other millions and millions of little Nisim, quote-unquote little Nisim, that are happening in everyday life. But that's not some tangential thing the Rambam is dropping in the middle of Hilchos Chanukah. That is the Yesod of Chanukah. Chanukah shows us that even in those dark times, there are Nisim that abound all around us. And the goal of Neros Chanukah is to publicize the main Nisim so that we start to be Megala and start to see the harder to recognize, harder to notice Nisim that exist in the story of Chanukah and also in the rest of our lives. So we should be Mechazik ourselves. We were able, Baruch Hashem, to learn three halachas in the Rambam about Pirsumei Nisa. So we're mechazik ourselves in the three inyanim the Rambam told us. First of all, that we should be reminding ourselves of the story of Chanukah. We should be mechazik ourselves and inspire ourselves through the story of Chanukah. As we light the menorah, we should realize we're representing, we're giving expression to that nes. and we're repeating it to ourselves, and we're showing ourselves, and we're reliving that nes, and it's a kriyas ha-megillah for us. It's like we're saying over the story through the candles. And we should start to internalize, if we're going to pay attention to the story, the lack of tefillah in Chanukah is a telling chisaron, it's a telling gap in the story. What does that say about our lives? Where are we not davening? Where are we not noticing the gaps and the compromises in our current das? What has been mevutal al yidei the yevanim in our lives? We have to start to pay attention, and then we can start to work on it and start to daven on it. And lastly, we should realize that the nisim of Chanukah are there to remind us not only of all the nisim in Chanukah, al hanis and al hanisim, but it's to remind us of all the nisim in our lives, the big nisim, the little nisim, everything that's going on in our lives, the yada kadosh baruch that's guiding us through our lives, and through being mefarsim the nes, through being modia, through being maru magala the nes, b'siyat hashmaya, we should come to greater hoda, a greater recognition, a greater thanks, and ultimately recognize all of the past nisim and start to realize future nisim, b'siyat hashmaya as well. Thank you all very much for getting together.